I invite you to turn to Proverbs. We continue looking at various Proverbs as we confess our sins. Proverbs 25, verse 28 is where we're going to be this morning. Proverbs 25, verse 28. I'm going to read this verse in both the New King James and the ESV to give you a comparison. Here's that verse, verse 28 in the New King James. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And here's the ESV. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. So here we have a proverb on the essential importance of self-control and the danger of lacking self-control. Here we have a picture of an ancient city which walls have broken down. The walls would have been the defenses of the city. And so we have a defenseless city broken down in ruins. A city without walls is an open invitation to the neighbors around it to say, invade me. I'm defenseless. I cannot repel you. Come get me. Or to put it in a more modern context, perhaps, think about the Denver Police Department closing permanently. Tax money ran dry, couldn't support it anymore. We just had to close the Denver Police Department. How many of you would want to go downtown? I don't think I'd go downtown anymore. Very dangerous to have the walls broken down, to have law enforcement gone. You're defenseless. And so it is. Our lives are like that without self-control. It's like the police department has resigned, and it is open season for the sins of the flesh to take advantage of you. Listen to how Charles Bridges describes this passage. He says, "The man that lacks self-control yields himself to the first assault of his ungoverned passions, offering no resistance, having no discipline over himself, temptation becomes the occasion of sin, and hurries him on to fearful lengths that he had not contemplated. Anger tends to murder. Unwatchfulness over lust plunges into adultery." And so he says that without this self-control, you have no ability to resist. You have no defense. That temptation comes and you yield right away. So if you lack self-control, brothers and sisters, you are like that defenseless city, walls broken down. But we know that from Galatians chapter 5 that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. This is something that all of us in Christ receive by the work of the Holy Spirit. It is an increasing grace that each of us are to possess. And by the power of the Spirit, we are given the ability to say no to sinful desires, to control our bodies, to control our minds, to direct them towards that holy path that God has laid out for us. Self-control is necessary because, as James chapter 1 says, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We all know that feeling, right? Being drawn away. We feel like there's a pull. It's like a magnet. There's a positive and you're a negative and it's getting pulled together inevitably. But with self-control, you can resist. You can say no to the enticements of sin and turn away from them. When you have self-control, it's like a 3-foot stone wall. All those arrows coming at you cannot pierce you because you have that self-control. The Bible talks about different kinds of aspects of self-control, and I want to give you two in particular this morning. The first is the control of the body. And then the second is the control of the mind. Both of these are essential. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that we were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Our culture encourages a lack of self-control in a variety of areas when it comes to the body. Our culture encourages a lack of self-control when it comes to the use of our time, when it comes to the use of food, when it comes to the use of sexuality. All of these areas, the culture says, free rein, do what you'd like. And so there are hundreds of pressures. Not only do you have your own sinful flesh pressing upon you, you have the world pressing upon you saying, do it. Do whatever you'd like. Please yourself. But for us, we must control our bodies. We must bring them into submission for the glory of Christ. And we must not give way to these particular temptations. So that's the first, the control of the body. But secondly, the control of the mind. There is a battle going on in your mind every single day. And we are naive if we think that we have control of our bodies and we just don't even have to control what goes on in our mind. It's naive. We are commanded to love God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our whole strength. Our minds must love God. We must obey God in our thoughts. The mind is not neutral territory. It is to be controlled. It is to be brought into submission. It is to be taken captive, as 2 Corinthians 10 says. Paul gives us that list of the sorts of things that our minds should be controlled towards in Philippians 4:8. You know the list. He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, then meditate on these things. When Paul gives us this command, he assumes that we have the ability to control our minds, to think about these things instead of thinking about these other things. Sometimes we struggle with faithless thoughts. We struggle with anxious thoughts, lustful thoughts, ungrateful thoughts, selfish thoughts. But in controlling the mind, we redirect it. We take control of it by the power of the Spirit. We turn away from these thoughts and we replace it intentionally with these other thoughts that we have been called to. Part of our problem, though, is that our minds are not very filled with things that are praiseworthy, very true, very good, very lovely, when we fill them with things that are quite the opposite. If you spend all your time drinking from the fountains of the world, you should not be surprised that your mind is filled with garbage. It's hard to control the mind when you have been filling it with the lies of the world and the filth of the world. It's going to be very difficult for you. And so what we feed ourselves upon is so important, brothers and sisters. We must go to the right fountain. We must drink in that pure water of the Word of God. If you do not have Philippians 4:8 thoughts, you are probably lacking in your Psalm 1, verse 2 meditation. Psalm 1, verse 2, it says, meditate on the law of God day and night. Constantly fill yourself with these things. And so if you struggle with these faithless thoughts, if you struggle with these anxious thoughts and these lustful thoughts, I encourage you to go into the battle with even more seriousness and absolutely immerse yourself in the Word of God. It is so important that you fill yourself with the truth. Sit at the fountain. Keep drinking. Don't leave the fountain. Don't go anywhere far away from it. Stay right there with the water of the Word of God filling you. So this morning we confess our lack of self-control, that at times we have not controlled our bodies, we have not controlled our minds for the glory of God. But by the grace of God, we can walk by the Spirit. This is the promise for everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. You can have self-control. And remember that our Father is a good Father. He says that He loves to give good gifts to His children. And the greatest gift that He offers to us and He will give us is His Holy Spirit. And so let us ask for that fruit of the Spirit this morning, the fruit that is self-control. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning confessing our sins, thankful that You forgive us through Christ every single time we come to You. And we ask now that You would forgive us for our lack of self-control. Forgive us, O Lord, for not disciplining our bodies carefully in order to avoid sinful practices. We ask that You'd forgive us for not controlling our minds, for letting our minds run astray, for not loving You with all of our thoughts. We ask, O God, that you would give us this great gift, the Holy Spirit. Give us an increase of the Spirit, that we might control our bodies, control our thoughts, that we would enjoy this fruit of the Spirit. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.